What up, podcast babies? I'm Jesse Oliver.
I'm Maureen Smith.
And I'm Makita Loney, and we're Fat Outta Hell,
a bi-weekly podcast where we burn down fat stigma through conversations about our experiences as fad rad fatties.
So take out your extenders and buckle up, because it's time to go!
Welcome to the podcast, y'all.
We are excited to discuss the thing we're going to discuss with you today, which is radical fat joy. Repeat it after me. Radical, radical, fat, fat, joy, joy. Exactly. So yeah, friends, let's talk some radical fat joy.
Yeah. I think that we would be remiss to not mention the forefathers of radical fat joy.
The founding
fat babes,
patrons of fat joy. Yeah,
exactly.
The patron saints of chaotic fat joy.
Yes. Love it.
Chaotic fat joy. Let's call it what it is. Yeah. Chaotic fat joy.
For those who weren't in our off mic discussions, I keep referring to Guy Fieri as the patron saint of chaotic good. And so I was
speaking,
like,
of fat joy, fucking Guy Fieri, hello,
radical fat joy. Yes,
man.
I love Guy Fieri. I was born a Guy Fieri stan. I will die a Guy Fieri stan. But yes, so our patron saints.
Yeah, honestly, I think that, so I was, I want to talk for a moment about Guy Fieri, and then I'm going to go into actual people that I actually wanted to talk about. So for me, like Guy Fieri, so I was in college when that New York Times review of his Times Square restaurant came out, and like that very memeable, like truly cruel article about how he, like, how much his restaurant sucks or whatever.
How dare he appeal to the common man?
I know.
How dare he? How very dare?
Well, and so my view of Guy Fieri was really, because that was, you know, 20 when that came out, and so I was a 20-year-old who was eager to make fun of people because I was a mean kid. So I was like, ugh, Guy Fieri sucks. Meh, his Times Square restaurant is bad. But like, coming to realize like how much good he has done for the world is just like, how, like, wash your mouth out with soap, 20-year-old Maureen, because he is just truly a kind weird looking fella.
I love that there's various shades of blonde between his hair and his beard. I love it all. Mm-hmm. I love it all. I also love that he clearly has a generous heart, has done more for the restaurant industry during this time than the government. And by all accounts is like super generous with his time and talent to both people he knows well and people he's never met. So like, mm-hmm, kudos, patron saint of chaotic good. So
genuinely. No, but like the true founding, you know, the true, like, patron saints of chaotic fat joy. Like, I'm thinking Fat Girl Flow. I'm thinking Comfy Fat Travels. I'm thinking like all of these just rad as fuck, like joyful, unapologetic, like truly living their best damn lives, fat people, mm-hmm, who just, it's just a joy to see. And I feel like there are so many, I feel like in media, the fat experience is painted as a sad and lonely experience.
Mm-hmm. I mean, never forget Inside Out. Sadness is literally a fat blob.
Exactly, right. And so to like look at, to look at people, to look at fat people living amazing lives, like colorful, beautiful, full lives, is like such a, it's such an anomaly and such a beautiful anomaly. Like, you know, talking more about Carissa and Jay, like their life together, I mean, granted, let's bear in mind that, you know, the what we see on the internet is only what we're supposed to see on the internet.
Right.
But what they put out is this lovely, comfortable, full, beautiful life. And that's such an important people, or that's such an important thing for fat people to see, is that even if it is manufactured, even if it is, you know, put up, like, that's still such important messaging for folks to see who are seeking an alternative.
Well, also, I think we forget sometimes that joy is encompassing, right? Like, I do think, like, particularly in America, we have this false narrative of happiness, right? Like, it's like part of that whole idea of toxic positivity, right? Joy is an encompassing, like, you can find joy in sorrow. You can find joy in happiness. You can find joy in a fully realized, fully fleshed out life. And seeing people who let you into that and still seeing that joy, right? Like, both the good, the joy and the sorrow, the joy and the happiness, that was not something we got to see of fat folks a lot. Never in media representation, right? At least, like, up until the last truly probably 5 to 8 years. And I do think a big driving force of that is just access to seeing it on the internet equates to, like, people saying, oh, if this is popular on Instagram or popular on whatever the platform is of the moment, perhaps there's an audience that this resonates with, and perhaps we can design movies and television shows and books and whatever around that, right? Like, I think of someone like Julie Murphy, who writes these, like, stories about teenagers finding fat joy. And how radical that would have been for my teenage.
So when I was in college, I watched this show Bones, which is just like a total trash crime show, whatever, who cares? It's like, it follows a forensic anthropologist who uses bones to solve crime with an FBI agent and blah, 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 who cares? But I'm rewatching it because I stopped watching it after a certain point because it sucks. But I'm rewatching it because I can. And it is so fascinating to me how fat phobic it is, and how, so every main character on the show is fit or thin, or like, it's really truly a sight to behold just how many sexy scientists the Jeffersonian Institute was able to track down. It's truly mind-blowing. I'm so impressed. Their HR department does good work. But like, every time there's a fat person on, it's the deranged mother of a psycho killer, or the stalker of the person who's been killed, who then shows up at the end of the episode because she grows infatuated with the FBI agent and shoots someone. Or it's, or, oh, the victim was a fat kid, and so now their whole life is centered on being a personal trainer, and, you know, it's their story arc. And it, the common thread with all of these is just fucking misery. Is misery.
I mean,
and so, like, these are the stories being told.
So I yesterday did this Belksing masterclass with a pedagogue around New York, and they kept saying fat phobic shit and didn't even realize they were saying fat phobic shit because they have so much shame around their body from when they were a child and made fun of. And what has happened now is that even though they've lost the weight, they still feel that pain, right? And so that has now turned them into being fat phobic. And I posted something, like I put something on Instagram, like, gee, wish this masterclass wasn't fat phobic. And they reached out to me and were like, well, what do you mean? And I was like, well, this instance and this instance and this instance, like, did you not realize that all of that was fat phobic? And then I really think they don't, though, because they've been trained that that is acceptable behavior.
Oh,
by
for
things
sure.
like Bones, which, side note, is my mother's favorite show because she believes herself to be exactly like Bones. And
oh,
I watched
stop.
One episode and was like, okay.
You're like, sure, great.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Okay. All right.
Oh my God.
Oh.
No, it's like, it's, and it's wild. It is wild how stuff like that, when you're unaware of it, or how you're kind of like, when you're like indoctrinated into that kind of thinking of like, oh yeah, all like fat equals sad.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It's so like, it's so wild how like that kind of stuff just flies under the radar.
Well, and it's insidious because it builds in this thing. Like you, if you're fat, you have to be sad. Like, or you're like, delusionally happy, right? Like you mm-hmm. there, like it's, there's no just like I can exist in this body and disengage from diet culture and actually truly learn to love my body and be happy with the life I'm living. And I mm-hmm. do, I am so excited that we're starting to get those stories because mm-hmm. like truthfully, like again, 70% of women in this country are fat, mm-hmm. are plus sized, some small fat, medium fat, right? Whatever. But 70%, like we're the majority. We're not all going to walk around being like, I'm so sorry. Like, I want to see fat people eating joyously. And I want to see fat people having happy, loving relationships. And I also want to see fat people just hooking up with people because they can, right? Like,
right.
I want to see all the things that bring us joy.
Right. And like, this is the last time we'll bring up Bones, but I cited a really specific episode of like the stalker of this personal trainer, blah, blah, blah. And so like, whatever. I'm going to now give you a synopsis of this episode just because it really stuck with me how central to the plot this woman's delusion was. So like in this episode, the person who's killed is like this aspiring singer at like this open mic night and whatever. And they like go to the gym where he works, and the other trainer is like, oh, well, you should talk to Fat Pam, one of his clients. She saw him 4 times a week. And then they go and talk to Fat Pam.
Also, tell me, what job did Fat Pam have as a fat person who just get paid, that we know gets paid like disproportionately less, that she could pay for a trainer 4 times a week?
I think like, in the episode she's like on a trust fund or something like that.
Wow.
Like she's, yeah, I don't even remember. I don't even know. But anyway, she like, so like they're interviewing her and she's like, don't you understand? Like we were engaged. And everyone's like, what? There's no way that Fat Pam and this personal trainer are engaged. There's no way. And so is the momentum that gets them to dig deeper in a story. And like, yeah, it turns out they weren't engaged, but it was their incredulity that led them down that path, which is anyway. So then, you know, Bones, you know, Dr. Brennan calls her fat and says, like, you need to lose weight, blah, blah, blah. And then Fat Pam, and by the way, I'm doing air quotes, Fat Pam, like hunts her down and like makes her like the focus of all of her anger and like shows up at the end of the episode to shoot her. And it's like, okay. Like there, like I watched that episode and I was just like, why? What? How? Like this fat actress, this poor fat actress who's playing this fucking role of this miserable woman in the grips of insanity because of how fat she is. Like, what is that? I don't know.
And you take it because if you're a fat person in Hollywood, there are just so few opportunities that you're like, well, I guess I'm playing the role of Fat Pam. And can you imagine slating for that audition? Hi, my name is Jesse Oliver. I'll be auditioning for the role of Fat Pam.
Did they literally call her in the show Fat Pam?
They literally, that is how her character was introduced.
That's fucked.
You should go talk to Fat Pam.
Oh my God.
You should go talk to Fat Pam. And from there, it somehow gets worse. Somehow. My God.
You're fucking wild.
But let's pivot to Joy.
Yes, let's talk about Joy. I mean, like, what are clear examples of fat joy that, like, bring you, by extension, joy? Also, I'd like you to know Moira is sitting at my feet right now.
For context.
Baby dog.
We're not talking about Moira from Schitt's Creek. Moira from Schitt's Creek.
Though that would be really fucking great.
Sitting at Jesse's feet. Jesse, would you like to give context of who Moira is?
Sure. Let's just say the last few months of my life have been difficult, and it culminated into a kind of abusive situation, and so I needed to get out of where I was, and Maureen's mother graciously has taken me in. And shout out to Aileen. Friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod, yeah.
But Moira is her dog, who is just an angel.
Yeah, Moira is the nervous super fan we all deserve.
I mean, she's a strong, independent lady who also has anxiety, and I can absolutely relate.
I can completely relate. Absolutely.
I was like, yes, I feel that on a deep and personal level. So
truly, truly. Like for me, like an example of fat joy is, you know, instances of seeing like women, and specifically, you know, or whatever, who cares, seeing fat people like eat joyously in media, like Fat Salt Acid Heat.
Yeah,
or Salt Fat Acid Heat, sorry. Salt Fat Acid Heat is like,
the show is one order and the book is another order, so it's hard to remember which is which.
Yeah, but it's like, it's so cool to see this. Now, granted, you know, she's probably like a size like 16 or something like that, but like, it's so cool to see a non-standard standard size woman just like fucking indulge and not have it be like with like an asterisk,
right?
You know, like,
right. Or even like Fringish on Instagram, who does Fat Tuesdays and just shows themselves eating joyously, right? Yeah. Because, like, we deserve to be, to like food. We deserve to have a good relationship with food. And I think for so many fat folks, we are raised constantly dieting and looking at food as the enemy and as punishment. Or reward, conversely, right? Like, if you've done well, you can maybe have this, right? And it fucks with your perception of food. Like, this notion of, like, oh, well, I must be addicted to food, when you're like, no, I just need to put it in my body to live, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So seeing portrayals of people in different types of bodies get to joyously eat, whether it's Guy Fieri or Samin Nosrat, like, it's just mind-blowing to be like, yes, 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 yes. Like, look at, like, you get to love food and really love food.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it by proxy gives us all permission to love food, right? Like, so, yeah. Joyous eating.
So the reason I specifically earlier said, like, fat women is because, like, as women, I feel like our eating is so much more scrutinized than men's.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like, we are supposed to be, like, with men, for some reason, the beauty ideal is so much wider. Like, there are a variety of ways that a man can be considered attractive.
Yeah. That's a really good way of putting it.
Whereas with women, there is a very narrow, narrow definition of beauty. And that is trim. Not even like muscular, but like trim.
And I feel like that goalpost moves, like, all the time. Because, like, even within, like, the fat community, it used to be like, oh, you know, like people would, like you were just saying, strive to be thin. But now there's, like, a very specific kind of plus size that people go for, which is, I hate to say his name, like the Ashley Grahams of the world, you know, where you're like, what is it? Acceptably plus size. And so it's now instead of, like, just being, like, trying to be happy where you're at, it's just like, oh, no, I can still be plus size as long as I look this kind of plus size, you know?
I mean, that's the whole crux of the fallibility of body positivity.
Exactly.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. It's also, you know, the thing is, it doesn't seem to matter what actual size most women are. This built-in ideal of what the trim thing is tells women collectively, doesn't matter what size you actually are, it's never good enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's never enough. And so that is also really hard in, like, when you talk about body liberation and specifically fat liberation, you have to, first of all, you have to wake people up and shock them out of this belief system. And then you have to say, and we are not doing anything comparative, right? There is no sense of comparison of, like, but I'm okay because I'm, like, an Ashley Graham figure and not a fill in the blank figure, right? Like, because at this point, that is unacceptable. And, like, we know bodily set points are a real thing. We know bodily set points change due to yo-yo dieting. We have all of this information at our fingertips, and yet we choose to ignore it because this is so deeply embedded into the fabric of, like, aesthetics in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and something interesting about, so I was some online branch of some magazine does this what I eat in a day for, like, celebrities. Mm-hmm. And they did one for Ashley Graham, and I was like, I'm curious.
Yeah, no,
what,
for real.
what they're letting her say that she eats.
And what was it?
Let me tell you, Ashley Graham, I don't know if you know this, is the picture of health. She is low carb, but also vegan. What? Ugh. She works out multiple times a day, and she does have the occasional indulgence.
Oh my god, a single French fry! Oh.
I literally think that she claimed to eat fruit for dessert, and it's just like the dog and pony show.
Well, and
around this fat, you know, quote unquote fat woman.
I mean, this is a woman who has also outrightly been like, I don't consider myself body positive because I don't, you know, like, whatever.
Right.
But also, even if it, like, let's maybe say that is a dog and pony show. We can buy that and say that is problematic for one reason. But what if it is real? It's problematic because that is clearly disordered behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, like, any way you approach it, this shit is a problem. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because, like, nothing she described, like, I literally think at one point in that video, she's like, yeah, and I eat this, and I don't really like it, but I know it's good for me, and so I do it anyway. It's like, why would you do that? Why would you do that? Like, you eat this thing every day that you fucking hate? Like, there has to be another thing that you can consume that accomplishes, or some combination of vitamins or whatever that accomplishes the same fucking thing that doesn't make you miserable.
That's, right.
Honestly, that's what I keep returning to, is like, why are we so insistent that fat people must be miserable? That fat people on Thanksgiving need to prepare for Thanksgiving like they're going into battle. Like they, like, you know, because I remember, you know, back when I was doing Weight Watchers and all of that nonsense, there were so many articles that were emailed to me in advance of Thanksgiving telling me what was safe to eat on Thanksgiving. And it's like, this is literally a day, you know, Thanksgiving is not without its problems, but this is literally a day about being grateful. And you're telling me that I need to temper my thankfulness on Thanksgiving so that I don't become more fat?
Oh,
like,
I
what
mean,
is that?
But also think about what you just said. Like, we have existed in such containment, right? Like, fat bodies are forced to be contained for a very long time until you choose to no longer be constrained by the idea of containment, right? Like, mm-hmm. This idea of, like, what if I just let that all go and just let my body be? Like, I remember watching something once and there was a fat character on the show and I was like, you must be wearing at least 3 layers of Spanx. Like, you are contained and constrained. And I think we're just like, that absolutely plays into this idea of, like, you must contain yourself, you must constrain yourself, you must do all of these things just to survive a holiday that other people must give zero thought to.
Genuinely. In a day where literally anyone else can post a picture of a full plate and have people be like, oh my God, that looks so good. Whereas, like, if I were to post a picture of a full plate, there would be people being like, God, I'm just so worried about her health.
Right? The mental gymnastics of having to, like, do the calculation of what can I show myself enjoying versus what is the tipping point of people judging me, right? Mm-hmm. Like, is constantly exhausting. But that's why, I mean, coming back to joy, I just said, fuck it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I can post a picture of me eating a juicy slice of tomato and that will make me just as happy in certain times. And, like, sometimes I just want a gluten-free Oreo because those are good. They're new.
They are?
They're, oh my God, they're so good. New on the scene, here to stay. But, like, I get to enjoy both equally, and I am no longer going to accept that one is considered allowable and the other is not.
Yeah.
Right? Like, my joy is my joy. You don't get to tell me what I get to be joyful about. Trolls. Yeah. And haters and trolls.
Oh, our troll.
Well, let's just say one of my friends maybe figured out who he was and maybe found his information and maybe emailed his wife all of the screenshots that I had posted.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Ooh, we love tea! Oh my God!
She's like, oh, I don't think I'll ever receive a response, but it was sent because that was unacceptable.
Yeah. So we got surprisingly few trolls. Yes. Considering what we do, we get surprisingly few trolls, which is great.
Yeah.
But we got a hell of a troll the other day.
What happened? Well, so he came for me. on my personal page, and I sent something that was like, well, we're both committed to blah, 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 but I see you're committed to kindness, and like just kind of was like, I'm going to pretend like none of this just happened, and then said, you know, and like blocked him. And I don't know. I don't know what he said to Fat Out of Hell, but he also sent a message to the Muppet podcast.
He did?
And, yes. And Kellen was like, this is run by two people, and I am not the person you're looking for. I also will not tolerate this behavior. So you've been reported and blocked. So.
Yeah. Oh my God. No. So I want to see if I can. I wonder if I can still access it on Facebook. Not that it like, you know, I'm out here like, oh, let's read.
But cool Fat Joy. But Fat Joy is having friends who are like, oh, I found your wife and I emailed her your behavior on the internet.
I fucking love that shit. I fucking love that shit. I love that shit.
Okay, when I blocked him and went away. But basically, he sent a screenshot of all of the stuff that he had said to you and then said, since Cycloptic Cupcake isn't willing to listen to what I have to say, maybe you'll see some sense. And then sent me this like these screenshots of all this vile shit. What? And I just immediately blocked him.
Oh, like, yeah, bye.
Like, fuck that. I'm no way. Absolutely ew. Not.
Wait, what were the screenshots of exactly? Like
of just like his side of like multiple messages. I don't even know.
I mean, also, what was I supposed to listen to? Like, he was like,
yeah, he was just calling you gross.
Yeah, like, am I like
what?
Oh, I'm sorry. You are
is
you
that
supposed?
Was that like constructive
shocked?
Criticism?
Are you shocked that I'm not listening to this? Like, oh, I'm. What did you expect me to say? Like, okay, I guess you're right.
Shucks.
Also, wow. His screen name had doctor in it. I was like, what's your doctorate in?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It was like, I'm just like.
Is it fuckassery? Because that sounds about right.
I really did choose the path of like anger. I was like so nice and like just so like, I don't understand what you're saying. I don't get it. I wanted to be like, listen here, motherfucker. I'm smarter than you'll ever be. But I'm going to choose to not engage with you in the way you want me to. You want me to be the angry fat woman coming to defend myself. And you know what? My radical fat joy is pretending like I don't understand what you're saying and making you dig an even deeper hole. So...
And I think, like, even, like, another path to take that radical fat joy is just, like, being at a place with yourself where you don't see that and become, like, instantly crushed by it. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, there are going to be times we are crushed by things that trolls say. Mm. But, like, I think the more times that we don't instantly succumb to it, that's a testament, you know?
Yes. And I wasn't crushed by anything he said. I, like, on a fundamental, deep human level was like, what the fuck is wrong with people? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Right. Yeah.
And it wasn't about what he said. It was like that this person feels the need to do this at all is, like, actually disturbing to me. Like, on a fundamental personhood level.
But, like, as a person, like, for me is, like, there was a point in my life where I would have read that and be like, maybe he's right. Just because of like how inundated I was with that shit all the time from everybody. It's just like, wow, another person that knows more than me. What the fuck? Why can't I get this right? But like, we are now at a place where it's just like, man, fuck out of here. Bye. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, the fact that we can react like that in the face of shit like that is another, it's just like another testament to how like, how much we've overcome and like how much more joy we can bring to ourselves because of it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Genuinely.
Yeah. Fuck that guy.
What are things you're doing in your individual lives to bring you radical fat joy?
I restarted my Pinterest board. Ooh. It used to be that, like, when I had a Pinterest board for like style inspiration, all of the models were, it was all like thin models. Mm-hmm. But now I only pin outfits with people in them if they are fat people.
I love that.
Snaps. Snapping for you. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because I don't want to look at, I don't want to aspire to being thin. I want to aspire to look good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and those are two completely different things.
And I want to aspire to things I have access to, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
I can love an outfit, but also if I know that that designer will never include me, I am no longer going to hem and haw over it. I'm going to be like, bye. You don't want my money? Bye. Like,
see, and that's like really hard because like, well, not really. For me personally, with like some aspects of my style that I really enjoy, like the really kawaii, really pastel, really like adorable type shit that like I would probably wear for like stream or like going to a convention or like if I want to take pictures like in my apartment and feel really cute. Like though I am like in like, you know, all black everything, everyday kind of person, like I still have that branch of me that's like, I love the cute shit. But it's, I'm very hard pressed to find plus size kawaii clothing brands that cater to my actual size and are made well, like that I that aren't like fast fashion that I can keep around. So I've been like defaulting to like a couple cute like accessories here and there. But like when it comes to Pinterest, all those cute outfits, like, I mean, there's Studio Mucci, right, who does, who essentially is like my fat pastel queen, and I'm starting to find more like pastel, like fat pastel queens as well. But like, just like on an objective thing, I am a lot bigger than most of those like plus size people. And so it's like when it comes to finding clothes like that for me, like though I want to, it's hard. Like, I forgot where I was going with this, but it's hard like on Pinterest to find those examples, you know?
Yeah,
I get it. I've wanted that pink villanelle dress from season one of Killing Eve forever. Like, that is my dream dress.
For me,
I want to look like a pink cloud. So if there's a designer listening to this who wants to make me into a pink cloud, I will take it.
Same.
For me, it's a lot easier just because my aesthetic, my like aesthetic, dream aesthetic is very basics driven. And so like, my Pinterest board is like flat lays of like forest green crop top, flowy crop tops, and like skinny jeans, which is very accessible to me. Like, and like large.
Does it include a Target Pioneer dress? It should. That's, I okay. requested that officially be added.
Okay. So we had a. We had a listener specifically request that we discuss something. So I guess we're gonna discuss it.
We did it. We brought it up naturally.
We found it. Yes.
We kind of brought it up naturally. So
I was waiting. I was ready to pounce. I was like,
oh my God. You're like, ooh, we're talking about clothes. How can I get in here? So I guess Target's most recent release is very pioneer centric. It's very it's serving Laura Ingalls Wilder realness.
It's serving I'm in a PBS reality show realness.
Yeah, exactly. And I've got one more. It's serving I just escaped from my cult, please help me realness.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, and people are doing photo shoots in these dresses of like holding chickens and stuff like that. And it's very good. And I think the redeeming aspect of it, because because the framing of it was, I want y'all to talk, I would love to hear your thoughts on this. And so our thoughts are, it's hilarious because of the execution. because I think that if it weren't, because it shows fat people as well as straight sized people wearing. I'm sorry. I think the dresses are real bad.
They're bad.
They're so bad.
But they're also very on point for like some of the things that are actually happening in fashion right now.
Which yeah, I know.
I was like, I mean, in some weird way, I'm like, it's sort of awesome that like Target is given a accessible version of like Bathsheba clothing. But also yeah. It does look like.
Really, genuinely,
I am people, an extra on, like, you know,
I listen to Taylor Swift's folklore a little too much.
Yeah. No, it's wild. The people in these photos holding chickens, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, you really are dressing for the job you want.
Yeah.
Dress for the job you want, not the job you have.
You have.
Yeah.
Cluck, cluck.
Motherfucker.
I think though that there is a trend in fat fashion. I'm like almost positive that we've talked about this, of like how fat designers, and this is happening less but it still happens, fat designers target their like the designs coming out for fat people are more often than not more like matronly patterns,
crumpy,
shapeless, you know, which like shapeless is kind of on trend at the moment, but like it used to not be.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. I would say if the release of the Laura Ingalls Wilder commemorative collection from Target was exclusively like Ava and Viv or whatever, I would be like, what are you doing over there? Right. But since it's like across the board, I think it's really funny. I will not be partaking in the ooh, although my grandma does live out in the middle of the country.
That'd be a fun photo shoot.
Her backyard is literally a cornfield.
So literally.
I kind of so I am a weensy bit tempted to get one of these damn dresses and just kind of
wait till summer and go frolic in the corn.
Go romp around.
I mean, you know, I like a good excuse for a ridiculous photo shoot. There's
genuinely. Well, I mean, how are y'all feeling?
Oh, I would like to just say one of the ways I have found fat joy is making it a practice to listen to what I need and want. Like, what, regardless of what that is, right? Like, sort of like checking in with myself and just being like, ah, I'm no longer just going to do things because I have to get this done or I have to do this. Like, what do I want to invest in right now? And like making that a central focus for me and bringing that joy back up. So that is what I wanted to add for fat joy.
Keita, do you have any thoughts?
Gosh. Not really. I don't know. I've just been trying to live my life as authentically as possible. Like doing what makes me happy, taking breaks when I need to.
Is it bringing you joy?
Yeah. I mean, for the most part.
Are you fat?
I am.
I mean, I think that's fat joy.
There we go. Yeah. I mean, like, I've just been like, you know, just mapping out my best life for myself in general, which is my fat self. And like, I have goals that I want to achieve and I'm going to do what I can to achieve them. And though I do have my moments where I get really insecure and like self-conscious, like I force myself past that. And that is something that I would typically stop and be like, actually, you know what? This is not worth it anymore. I'm just going to stop. There's no point in pursuing this anymore. And now I just kind of force myself past that. And I think, and it's been making me really happy. So
I think you just hit upon something that's really important in this idea of radical fat joy is the things we once let our bodies prevent us from doing, not even because they weren't capable of it, but because of like whatever reasons, saying
perceptions, yeah.
Yes, saying we no longer accept that. And I will continue to do this thing. Mm-hmm. I think of that particularly with like working out for a lot of fat folks, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and how to like learn how to find joy in movement. And mm-hmm. I think that is the crux, is like just saying, I no longer give people's perception of my body power over me to do things I might enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And reclaiming that for yourself. And if you choose to not do something anymore because it's not bringing you joy or you don't want to, or whatever, like the myriad of reasons could be, that's one thing. To say I don't want to do it because of my body or people's perceptions of my body mm-hmm. is a wildly different thing.
Yeah. And like, and I think, and I know I talk about it a lot, and I swear to God, there'll be one day where I don't talk about my Twitch streaming, but like, it's really been...
You've only talked about it one episode. You can definitely talk about it more. Yeah, also, you're good. Like,
okay.
Also, queen, hype yourself up as much as you want to.
Like, sorry, I feel like I talk about it a lot. I don't know.
You talk about it an appropriate amount in your everyday life.
Okay.
And you've talked about it once on the podcast. Okay, you're more than good.
Okay, cool. Because I was gonna say that, like, you know, the major reason why it took me so long to start, because I mean, so the whole story of when I started streaming was like I reconnected with some old friends of mine and they were all doing it. And then I was like, oh, shit, I could do that. But like I always got terrified, like knowing about the trolls that live on the Internet, especially the lovely dark side of trolls that live on Twitch. I was like, should I even fucking start? I'm black. I'm fat. Like I'm just giving them so much fuel to fucking tear me apart. But then I pushed past all of that and I was like, no, this is something that I want to do. This is something that'll be really fucking fun for me. Let's give it a try. And then even down to like last night, where it's very rare where I'll wear like a sleeveless outfit on stream because I still have some of those like internalized issues that I need to work through. But last night I was wearing a dress that I felt really cute. And I mean, even though you can't see me from like the chest down, but like I was wearing a sleeveless dress and I felt really good. And I ate a bowl of mac and cheese on stream in front of probably the largest audience I've had on Twitch to date. And I didn't give a shit. And it felt really nice to just exist in front of everybody and be like, hey, I'm hungry and I've been streaming for 2 hours straight and I haven't eaten in a while. I'm going to eat in front of y'all right now and play this game. And I'm swinging my arms around. I'm having fun. I'm like doing all this stuff. And it felt really good. And I didn't even like actually think about it until right now. Like that's the kind of shit that I like push through and I like, and it makes me feel good. So yeah.
Yep. I'm so happy for you.
Aww,
and you. Like, I want to say this without it. Sometimes when we say we're proud of people, it can sound really kind of patronizing and it's not meant to, right? But like, I'm proud of you for reclaiming your own joy. You deserve that, right? Like, you deserve to let your arms be bare. You deserve to wear a cute dress. You deserve to be joyful while twitching and eat that macaroni and cheese. I feel like the way I'm holding my microphone, I'm like,
yeah,
having a revival.
Podcast insight. Jessie's fast and loose with her mic today.
It's like
she's mobile today,
right now.
she's on the move.
Yep. So, you know, any final thoughts was that our final thoughts?
I'm good with that being final thought. I think that we've made several salient points throughout the podcast.
Several salient points. Yes. Mm-hmm. That is a tongue twister waiting to happen. Well, podcast babies, I encourage you to go find your joy and to be radical about it.
Mm-hmm.
Or not radical. As long as you're finding joy, it doesn't have to be radical. Joy in and of itself can be an act of being radical. Now I'm just talking in circles, but I got my mic and I'm moving. You can't see that. Podcast. It's a listening medium. all right. So we're going to say goodbye. Bye.
Bye. Thanks so much for listening. You can find us on all the social media places as Fat Outta Hell Pod and all the podcast places as Fat Outta Hell. And you can shoot us an email at fatoutahellpod@gmail.com. Bye, babies.